Hello?
Hey, is Rick available by chance?
Yeah, speaking. Who's this?
Hey, Rick, this is Tyler over at the Bank of Cardiff. How are you doing today?
Fine.
Good. I just kind of wanted to call here and follow up on an offer we had extended to the company. It's looking like it was about 2 weeks ago. It was based off some good lending history you guys had with Bank of the West a few years back. Is any of that ringing a bell by chance?
Yep.
Okay, so the offer we had extended, you know, it was a pre-approval for some equipment as well as working capital, and it looks like
right.
You guys were pre-approved for right around $250K. I just kind of wanted to touch base with the business and see where you guys were at and if you had any plans going forward for some growth.
As a matter of fact, I do have plans for probably speculating October, November time frame purchasing some equipment.
What was it you were looking to do around then?
It's probably not going to be anywhere near that much, but it's still going to be something that I'm going to finance.
Uh-huh. What equipment was
it? I'm sorry?
What equipment was it you were looking to pick up?
It's a milling machine.
A milling machine? Okay.
Yep. So I'm kind of at that point right now, and I'm just waiting for the actual companies to submit their bids and proposals, so I haven't gotten that information completely yet. You know, I'm not in a hurry, so, you know, they've taken their time. So they haven't really got back to me on that yet. So, you know, just keep me in your file.
Yeah, we can definitely follow up. You said, sorry, I just want to make sure I had that right. It was like October, November time, you said?
Yep.
Is that when the bidding will start, or is that when you plan to actually have that?
I'm going to have that all done beforehand, and I'll finalize it by then.
I see. Have you purchased one of these machines in the past?
No, actually, I have the part A of this, which is a scanning and the computer software program to do this actual digitizing.
Okay.
Material. And typically what we do now is we upload the files and send it out to a milling center, but we're going to start doing it in-house.
I see. I was just actually working with a company here in the same industry. The milling machine that he was buying, I think he said it was three pieces that they were doing. So you said you have, like, one of those three, and you just, outsource?
When he says three, typically what that means is there's a milling unit,
mm-hmm.
and then what you typically have after that is you have a sintering furnace. There's like a furnace to this process that it's not part of the milling machine.
I see.
Now, the other part of the system is you have to have a scanner and the computer software. And so that if that's the three pieces that he's talking about, I would
mm-hmm.
say yes. You know, I already do my own scanning right now, my own designing, but I upload the files like to a center.
I see. So you like outsource it for that other part, basically?
Right. Yes.
Okay. So you're looking to bring that in-house?
Yep.
Okay. Just out of curiosity here, how much is one of those usually going to run you? Do you have any idea?
I would probably say right now the neighborhood I'm going to say with the sintering furnace and some other things you'll need like a suction system and so forth, you're looking at probably in the neighborhood, I'm going to say top ballpark figure, maybe about 45-ish.
Okay, and that's brand new?
Right around. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's actually not that bad.
No, price of them has come down considerably.
Yeah, the other one that he was quoting me on there, I think he said it was like right around like $140,000, $150,000, but I guess that's with all three pieces.
And it depends on the systems that you're integrating. Was he an actual laboratory or was he a dentist?
He was a laboratory, just like what you guys do there.
Okay.
He was actually out. You know how you said you have the screening process in place. He didn't have any of that system, and I guess they were falling behind on production. And I guess the new milling machines are much more efficient now than what he was working with before. So,
they are. They're completely different now.
And would that require more labor or less labor there for you?
Not well. At this point right now, it's saved me business is what it's done. So, and at the same time, it made a transition from doing things. I would probably say it's a wash at this point right now with what I'm doing. Now, it's going to be a little bit more labor intensive once I start milling them myself, because now there's a whole other aspect of the process that I'm going to be responsible for where I'm not responsible for it now. So
I see.
When you mill them, then you have to there's a process in there where you have to do pre-finishing when it's called a green state before the actual material gets hardened before you do that. So now you're creating a few more steps for yourself, but you're able to control the quality a little bit more.
I see. I was going to say the cost is probably...
Right. You can buy these pucks, and even the highest quality pucks, you could probably get 10 of them, let's say, for roughly in the neighborhood of $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of those pucks, you can mill out about 35 units, let's say, conservatively. Okay, say 30.
Mm-hmm.
So out of having 10 pucks, you're looking at about, let's say, between 300 and 350 crowns. Now, when I go to buy those things, if I have to buy one from this milling center, I'm paying about $35 to $40 a piece.
Wow.
So you see the difference? Every 10, I'm paying, you know, roughly the same as what I could mill out.
Yeah.
350.
I see. Wow.
So
that's a huge difference.
Yeah. So you start really saving money doing this. But in addition, it's not just the money factor. It's the factor of saying to yourself, I can control the quality, because there's, you know, processes that are involved in handling that material that you're able to add value to, that in a way, when they're big milling centers, you necessarily can't do that.
Yeah, is that kind of why you're having to wait till like October, November? Is the machine literally being built for what you're going to be pumping out there, or is it just...
Oh, no, it's a standard machine. It's just for me waiting. It's a matter of just checking, making sure my cash flow and business, because, you know, this is a tough business, and
small
guys disappearing, and I'm basically myself. I work by myself.
Oh, wow. One-man show.
Yes.
Okay.
So that makes it a little bit more difficult, and, you know, in business, you know, there's a lot of transition points in this business.
Mm-hmm. How's it been for you this year?
It's been very, very good.
I was going to say
it was very good last year. This year's been very, very good, almost probably as equal as last year, but there's some changes. You know, I've got people that are retiring, and so, you know, that's kind of one of the issues.
I see. When it comes time to these materials that you do have to purchase, is there a way that if you're able to buy it in bulk, do you kind of get it at a cheaper price there, or is it pretty standard no matter the quantity?
You could probably get them in bulk, but then again, for a small guy like me, if I'm buying, let's say, 10 pucks at a time, you know, 350 crowns, that's probably about, I'm just going to guess, I couldn't give you the exact number up without doing some quick mental calculations. That could almost be a half a year's worth of work.
Yeah.
One purchase. So no, not like, you know, a big place like Glidewell that uses literally hundreds of those pucks, and they're able to almost go to the manufacturer and develop their own material and buy it exclusively for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so huge.
I see.
You know, most of the companies I would deal with are already established in the sense that I'm buying their market, you know, with their marketing at this point.
Yeah. Is there like a lot of regulations that you have to go through there with the...
No. There is a lot of crap from the government that's coming down where you have to be FDA approved if you're milling titanium. If you're doing zirconia, it's not a problem. But apparently the titanium now, it's a listed material, and the FDA is getting involved where they're trying to force people to... You know, you have to be a registered company to be able to do this because these are considered medical devices. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes the craziness that the government gets involved in, I mean, there's always been, titanium's been around forever.
Uh-huh.
As long as you're buying medical-grade titanium, which, you know, everybody is, you're buying them from these dental companies. They're just blanks is all they are.
So, I'm seeing a lot of similarities here. I used to work a lot with, like, injection plastic molding. Kind of industry there, so I'm seeing a lot of similarities there, just between the regulations that they have on the medical side too. It's just almost a nightmare for what they have to do.
It
so
is. And this is, you know, this becomes a whole nother derivative of a larger discussion as to why the United States isn't competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problems right here. Not that some regulation isn't good, but let's get real. When we're competing with the cheapest labor costs in the world, and that's really what we're doing, and then we have a whole bureaucracy of regulations that force us into a different, you know, almost into a different business model because of that, and the costs are so much more prohibitive with all the regulations and the labor enforcement. It's like, how do you know, it's not a wonder why all these companies end up going overseas, and this is why, you know, you're watching, I think, what's happening within the political spectrum right now, and again, people don't understand because their heads get so wrapped up in this right-left paradigm of, oh, you know, Republican, Democrat, and this stupid ping-pong match we watch.
Yep.
The reality of it is, it comes down to TPP. If they sign this, if they allow, and look, there's bad players on both sides of this equation. They all want it because they're being lobbied heavily to sign TPP. And what people don't realize, NAFTA was a stake in the heart of the United States. TPP is going to be the guillotine because it's over.
It's just so frustrating that it's either left or right, it's Republican or Democratic. It's just like, why can't we just make the decision that's the right decision? It shouldn't have to be a side.
Right. That is just, believe me, that whole political theater is set up to keep you distracted. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's the game of what you call managing the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. It's to keep us distracted from really learning the truth and to seeing what really is going on. If this thing gets signed, if this TPP gets signed, we are going to be in, I can't even imagine the level of trouble that's come our way.
Because I know.
We're going to have now 10 countries that are going to be in a free bloc trade, which is essentially what Canada and NAFTA and the United States, when they signed NAFTA and with Mexico, that's what happened. All those companies went down to Mexico because it's cheap labor, no regulation, and you know, this is what took place. Well, this is going to be the same thing, except it's going to be on steroids. Because
and
you're going to have being able to go over to the Pacific Rim, and it's not going to be any big deal.
Well, that too, and if you're one of these companies here that don't have the cash flow to even make that transition, you're going to fall behind so quickly.
And that's happened in this industry. Because of the change of technology that came in so fast, it wiped out guys like me that, you know, just kind of said, oh, I'll just ride it out. They couldn't. I had to make the investment at least to the scanning end of it. Even if I outsourced, it's okay. I mean, my costs are a little bit higher doing that, but the fact that I offered that, because at one time I used to do all porcelain fused metal type work where that was all done here. I mean, the castings, everything were done here. None of that was outsourced. But the problem was is once they came in with this milled zirconia, porcelain fused metal died. So I almost don't do any of that work anymore. It's all full porcelain. It's either, you know, Emax, which is a pressed ceramic, which I do here, or it's all zirconia, which is milled.
I gotcha.
A lot of guys didn't do it. They just said, no, I'm going to just kind of stick with what I have going. And, you know, the businesses have just fallen off. I mean, so many people have gone out of business.
It's not sad, but it's such a struggle when you have industries that are so heavily dependent on these technologies that are advancing every year. It's almost nearly impossible to stay ahead of the competition.
Yes, it is. It's a rapid change, and a lot of people, you know, and I'm 57, so I was kind of at a point where I could have said, oh, maybe I could just, you know, stretch this for another 10 years, but I realized a couple years ago I couldn't do it.
Yeah, you got to make the move now, or else you're gonna drown.
And it allowed me to, you know, business that I would have lost, I've now kept.
Are you dealing with a lot of kind of repeat clients and customers there, or?
Well, I most of the clients, in fact, all the clients that I have, I've been doing business with them for 20, 25 years.
Oh wow, I see.
Right, so I don't have a real big turnover of clients at all. These are guys when I first started in business.
Mm-hmm.
That they're pretty much the same people.
Do you advertise or anything like that, or?
You know, one of the problems is for being a smaller person like me,
mm-hmm.
I can't service a lot of clients and give them the quality that they're used to getting. So I have to say no.
I see.
So I don't necessarily advertise because I just, you know, it's one of those things. I have the people I have. And if one of them retires, then I try to find somebody to replace them, and I kind of move on from there.
I see. I see.
I try not to take so much work that I can't do it.
Uh-huh.
The difference between me, see, this whole business now has become price-driven. It's all about money now.
Yeah.
Do it as cheap as possible price. let's put it this way. Here's a differential. Typically for the zirconia type crowns that I do, which I call a monolithic, it just means it's milled out of a solid block. It's just a tooth. I put some stain on it. I finish the crowns down, but I put some stain on it. That's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy those crowns anywhere from $35 on up. Now, I typically charge for those crowns $245. So the problem in this business, you have a lot of people that are just, it's all margin.
Yeah.
All human margin, and they make pennies on this stuff. But the,
wow.
And that becomes the issue. So if you can't, if you're doing what everybody else does, then the doctors look at it and say, okay, well, why am I paying this much for your work? So that you've got to add that value, and that's, a machine can't do that. That's labor. That's you sitting there working under a microscope and doing things that other people won't do. And because they're looking for the price. They can't spend the time on the work that I do because they're worried about, you know, getting it out the door and selling it for the cheapest price. So that's the division of this business is now really is starting to stratify where you have people more or less like me that are maybe in the top 5% and then you have everybody else.
No, I definitely get you on that situation. I mean, have you been kind of maybe given the opportunity or looked into maybe looking to expand it just to bring on some extra hands to help you out, or is it just location you're out of?
Yeah, here's the issue that it really comes to. There are no schools to train people anymore. Here's what happened. I'll just share this with you. The company that I'm sending in the beginning that I started to deal with, this is a national company. They're big, European, Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And the original scanning unit called 3Shape, which is one of the industry standards, came out of, I believe it's Sweden. And it was all developed over there, then it ended up making itself, you know, over here to Canada. And so there's some laboratories, milling centers, that they have. It's called Core 3D. Now, in the beginning, I used to just pack up the models. I'd pour everything up, trim everything so there's working dies, and I would send them down to their office in Vegas.
I see.
They would take them and scan them because they had the software, whole machines. Everything was there ready to go. So they would scan everything in, and then I'd say, okay, well, send me a digital file so I can open it up and look at it just to see if we're on the same page with the designs.
Yeah.
And what I found was these people didn't know anything about dentistry. They knew computers, but they didn't know anything about dentistry.
Okay,
well, that's all well and good. Software is great, but if you don't understand dentistry, then what are you doing?
Uh-huh.
So all these people I was dealing with down there were computer people. They weren't dental technicians. So I found right away I'm spending all this time on the phone to get them to correct this or change this on the occlusion to make the modification. And I finally just said, this isn't going to work.
Yeah,
I mean, I literally am going to have to actually, you know, have one of these systems here so that I can actually do my own designs. And that's ultimately what happened.
Especially if it's just you running it too, you want as much control on the product as possible for just reputation purposes.
As much as you can, yeah. And that's, you know, that's why the next phase of it is more or less getting into your own milling. But in a way, like I said, one of the problems that associated with that, it becomes a little bit more labor intensive than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more procedures I'm going to have to be responsible for.
I see.
So, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of roll the dice and say, okay, am I ready to do that? Do I want to do that at this point? I mean, I can work with what I have, and it's fulfilling my needs, but it would be nice to be able to do this.
Yeah. I mean, if you can open yourself up to more opportunities, too, with the machine, too, I mean, it's definitely something that might just take you to that next level there with the business that you do have.
Exactly. And because it's just like I said, it seems like the stratification of where this whole industry goes, it's either you do high quality work or you're competing with everybody else, and it's cheap. Look, I know guys that I had worked for back in Connecticut years ago when I lived there that are almost charging the same price as they were 20 some years ago.
That is sickening.
Now, you know, the cost of living has done nothing but go up.
Yeah.
The cost of equipment, I mean, you across the board, everything's gone up, yet they're still selling us crowns for the same price. Well, how does that work?
That makes no sense.
Right. Even these big guys that I once knew, they're all suffering and struggling, and they're going out of business because all they had to offer was the cheapest price.
Yeah.
Once you go down that drain, there's no coming back.
Yeah, that's a tough hill to climb up.
Right, and how do you compete with a lab? Here's a perfect example. There's a lab right in Reno. I live in Carson. Right in
okay.
Reno. It's essentially a Chinese shell. It's a laboratory that packs everything up. Doctors send everything there. I don't even think they pour anything. I think the impressions, for the most part, if they're using impressions, are all just basically sent there. They're wrapped up, and they're overnighted to Shanghai.
Wow.
Right. They FedEx them all the way to Shanghai, and there's a massive lab there. It's like, I don't know, 1,200 technicians. It's huge.
Holy crap.
It's one of the biggest labs in the world.
Wow.
So they're cranking them out for, you know, 18, 19, 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, wow, that's crushing
right.
price that's, point there.
Right, and you look in that laboratory, it's like a sea of humanity. People lined up.
Wow.
You know, on these just long benches, linear benches in a factory. That's all it is. It's a factory.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it doesn't even cease to, it's not even a laboratory. It's just a factory.
Yeah, at that point, they're just pinching everything out that they possibly can.
Right, it's like looking at the iPhone factory, just a sea of bodies. That's all this is.
Wow.
It's just weird. It's just it's a strange, you know, dichotomy that we've come to in our society. People want quality, but then again, at the same time, people aren't willing to pay for it.
They're not willing to pay for it, and they're not willing to wait for it either. They want it now, and they want it cheap. So
right, they want it cheap, and that's the problem, because the cost of everything else is going up.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of housing, the cost of insurance, the cost of food. I mean, it's all these different things play into it, and they look to try to save money anywhere they can.
Wow. Well, I definitely understand your situation here, and I feel like come October, November, the equipment we're definitely going to be able to help you out with there.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Do me another favor. Do you have my email address?
I do not. I was just going to ask what's a good email there for you.
Okay, it's Nova, N-O-V-A.
Okay.
It's a hyphen, -art.
Okay.
At att.net.
At att.net. Okay.
Right, and just put your name in there and you know, brief description that we spoke on this date, and then, you know, give me your contact information.
Yeah, my direct dial will be in there. It'll just be a quick summary of the offer we had sent you. I'll maybe follow up with you maybe mid-late September and just kind of see.
Mid-late September. If I, you know, I'm moving forward with it, and I'll give you, you know,
okay.
A heads up doing, because the last company I dealt with was Ascente Financial, which essentially they brokered everything and did it all, and then eventually after less than a month or so, it wasn't even that, they sold it to Bank of the West.
I see.
I think that's how it went.
Okay,
because they locked in the terms. I don't care who they sell it.
Well, yeah, exactly. The terms are locked, so it was just a matter of who's collecting it at that point. But
right.
As far as the process goes here, just so you're somewhat familiar, getting you approved is, we keep it very simple here. It's just three things that we look at. It's just a one-page app, your most recent tax return, and then 6 months of your most recent bank statements.
Right.
Once we receive that, I can usually get you an answer right around 24 hours for what programs and rates you're going to qualify for. And then from there, if it makes sense for the business and it looks like it's going to work out for you, we can have you funded in right about 24 hours after that as well. So we can move the process here very quickly. If you feel like you got an opportunity to take advantage of a piece of equipment here a little bit sooner and it's going to be cheaper for you, but you got to get it, you know, by the end of the week or something, that's definitely something we'll still be able to handle for you.
Right, so maybe what we'll do is we'll get all that worked out, because here's one of the things with these deals. A lot of times the end of the year is when you got to strike, because manufacturers will give sales on the existing models, which I don't care if I don't have to necessarily have the latest. I know what units that I want to buy pretty much, and so it's just a matter of negotiating you know, the final price, and a lot of times they put that stuff on sale right in around November, December, and I want to get the purchase done before the tax – cycle. So
I gotcha. And the nice part too about these approvals is once you are in the program and you get approved, the offer is good for 90 days. So if you wanted to get the paperwork out of the way, you know, a month, you know, you're anticipating some business to pick up and you don't want to be hassling around with paperwork a week before this happens, we can get that all out of the way. You're situated, you know exactly what you're going to be working with. And literally it would just be a phone call, you saying, I'm ready to pull the trigger, and we get you funded in 24 hours. So that's on the equipment. Also, the approval was also, pre-approval was good on the working capital side, which is just literally unsecured cash that's based mostly off your sales as opposed to credit. It's very similar to a line of credit.
Right.
But
my
it's like...
I think I'm running about between 847 and 850 right now.
Oh, wow. So with that, the equipment side, it's more heavily based on the credit. And if that's what you're working with, I would have... no doubt that you're probably going to qualify for one of our better programs here. Very impressive.
It runs between 847 and 850.
So okay. I'll shoot this information over to you right now, Rick. Kind of look it over and just save that there for you for down the road. If anything does come up before September time, definitely feel free to email me or call me. My direct line will be in that email, and we can help you with whatever you may need.
Okay, great.
All right, Rick, it was good talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.